Amen. We're going to win in every area. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 21, verse 1. This is a good day.
Yeah.
This is the day. Lord, bless Bonnie today.
Yes, Lord.
And thank you for taking care of her today in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We bless that baby.
Yes.
That we've been praying for. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know the baby's name, but Jesus does.
Right.
Hallelujah. We bless all those that have been accused of things they didn't do. We declare they come out of jail and are freed. Those that have been indicted for no reason, we declare that they justice is found out in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Matthew 21:1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying, go into the village opposite you and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. There's a secret for you. Start declaring the Lord has need of that thing. That's how we got this building. Yeah, Randy Rudman kept driving by here saying, the Lord has need of you. Praise the Lord. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? That's what the whole city's saying. So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, as you know, today is Palm Sunday, and this is the beginning of Holy Week. It's the week that we celebrate and remember all of the events leading up to the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And it's called Palm Sunday because Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and they waved their palm branches and celebrated him as a sign of victory. Isn't that amazing? We've been talking about victory all morning.
Yeah.
It's interesting how the Holy Spirit gets right in there with us. No, it's amazing how we got in here with the Holy Spirit. But they're celebrating their king. They're celebrating their king on this day. So they're waving their branches to honor their king. And thousands of people are actually shouting, save we pray. That's what Hosanna means. Save we pray. It's not the first time that this phrase is used. They actually did this when the high priest would come through. Once a year they would say this. But today they're doing this with Jesus, which is an interesting thing to be happening on this day, because many of them saw him as king. But he was a different king. You know, we Americans, we're not all that familiar with monarchy. You know, we watch the coronation. You know, we'll watch some of the royal weddings, all the pageantry. Probably most of you that are old enough, you saw Charles and Diana get married way long time ago and how beautiful that was. And it marked history. And so we all went, oh, and you know, it was wonderful. And then, you look back at the films where you saw Elizabeth receive her anointing, and it's just amazing what they go through. And that's about all we get about it. But, so, you know, we occasionally follow at a distance some royal gossip, you know. And although we're sort of numb when it comes to that kind of stuff, leadership, because we see the weakness of kings, we see the weakness of some presidents, and there is something inside of us that we get a little stirred about pomp and circumstance. We kind of like that. We're kind of like, yes, duh, you know, it's just... And you probably have your favorites through history that you thought were good kings. And this is the king. And so there's something inspiring about a king or a queen. There's the military and the politics, which can empower a king. But this one, he's different. King Jesus. Yeah. King Jesus. When you encounter King Jesus, he's different. He is the King of Kings. Yeah. Most royalty, they're kind of just determined to rule. They're determined. But he comes determined to serve. Where most monarchs spend time building their egos and with these prerequisites of the office and all these things, he comes in with this disarming humility.
Yeah.
He's riding on a donkey. Right? I mean, they're coming in on Boeing 747. They're coming in the old days they were on stallions. Right? Amen. He's coming in on a donkey. He chose that vehicle. He chose it. The horse stands for war. I know you know that about horses. They stand for war. And that, on that day, is what the people actually wanted. They wanted to be delivered from Rome on that day. And they were hoping that he was the one that would deliver them. And so they're yearning for this leader that's going to come in and just break that yoke and bring them in. And here he comes riding in on a donkey. In all meekness and all peace. You know, how different is the swaying palm branches than the swords clicking or the 21-gun salute? I mean, it's a very different day. It has a whole different feel to it, you know. And most of the kings, think about kings, they set themselves up, they imagine the hero's death, right? Westminster Abbey's, in their imagination, the picture of all the heads of states and the heads of nations coming and giving their, thoughts about the, them as they have passed on and giving their tribute, their silent tribute, all these things and the world paying honor to their contributions. That's what kings dream of. This is where I'll be one day. This is what's going to happen, you know. They're thinking about that. Jesus was different. He prepared for the cross. His death was humiliating. It was marked by an insulting inscription calling him the King of the Jews. His fellow monarchs didn't fly in from around the world to honor him. No, because your King of Kings is different. Your King knows precisely who he was and who he is. Most kings aren't really very certain about themselves. They inherit their positions and with their inheritance comes that either a doubt that it's bred by failure, that they have to earn the position or a kind of boasting and strutting. You know, this is who I am, and it comes from years of being groomed by the palace bureaucrats, you know. This is how it works for them, but not Jesus. Jesus knew precisely who he was. He knew he was the Messiah that was spoken of in the Old Testament by the Old Testament prophets. And, you know, critics may deny this, but the record is clear. Jesus dressed for the occasion. He did. He dressed for the occasion. He prepared for himself the kind of entrance that was spoken of by the two prophets, Isaiah and Zechariah. Those prophets declared that the Messiah would come in, that he would be different, that he would be different from any king, that he's coming in humble, riding on a donkey. Mm-hmm. Now listen, this is what you got to get about this day. He willingly forced the issue. He's forcing what's happening this day. He deliberately provoked the kind of response that he got in Jerusalem that day, which was entirely opposite of his past performance. Did it right? He went in and said, yeah, I'm coming in here as king. What's he doing? He's provoking the religious people so they get stirred up so he can go pay the price. What a king. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. His whole lifestyle and ministry, he really shied away. I thought it interesting yesterday. Pastor Brandon referred to himself as an introvert. But he preaches around the world. I think the same thing about myself, that I'd rather just hide. I mean, when we get on a plane, I get in the corner and tell Deb, you talk to the people. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm just that way. Yeah, I just don't. But yet, and this is the way Jesus was, yet because of the anointing, because of who he was, people came. And people were chasing him, following him, trying to touch him. But that really wasn't his life. He didn't go out there and say, Pastor Danny, I need you to go out and get the biggest billboard you can. No, his billboard was signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So his lifestyle was different. But then on this day, he's coming in with a different posture. He's doing something different here. So he's not taking, let me say this, he's not taking the dominant, power-oriented stance that a contemporary leader would do. But he's putting on the symbol of the prophetic utterances. And now he's coming in and he's declaring in no uncertain terms by his posture and bearing, I am the king. And he's making some people mad. Yeah? It was, that entrance was designed to seal his doom. It was the catalytic agent that would stir up the anger and the jealousy of the religious establishment of the day to a frenzy, setting the stage for the greatest event in human history. And it is, and you know it is. He knew he was king, and he knew he also was the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, about to go to his death. Jesus deliberately arranged. Now look, he's king, but he's lamb. He deliberately arranged his itinerary and personal activities at this time around the events associated with the Passover, with the selection, the testing, the death of the Passover lamb. I say this very thing to you every year. It's the same thing. In this way, the Jewish people should have and could understand that he's the Lamb of God. Right on the hour it's happening. He was set aside and examined, sacrificed, crucified on the exact day, month, hour that the Jews had been sacrificing lambs for 1,500 years. In keeping with the Passover. And you remember what they do is they make sure that the lamb has no blemish, right? And so he's taken before the Sanhedrin, he's taken, Herod sees him, Pilate sees him, and Jesus, the human lamb, was observed and tested for 5 days by religious leaders, and he always responded to them perfectly. And this is what a man named Pontius Pilate said of him, I find no fault in him. That's John 19:4. And then finally we know that Jesus was crucified. All of these things happened. He was crucified. He died at the same time that the lambs were slaughtered at the temple. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He's paid the price. But here's the thing, church. It wasn't for a year. It's forever. It's forever. The price has been paid forever. All you have to do is receive him. Amen. So we're grateful for the Lamb. We're grateful for that he took away the sins of the world. He took away your sins if you'll allow him to and step into to who he is and receive him as your Savior. And we could talk more about that next week, but I want to go back to the king. Let's talk about the king a little more. You know, He's our king. He was the lamb. But not only did he know precisely who he was when he entered Jerusalem, but he knows precisely who he is when he's entering the Jerusalem of your life. embodied in his presence that day and today is, it's, there's just this transparent honesty which defies so much of worldly leadership. It defies religion. He's a king that is humble. He's a king that defies the way the world tries to do things. And your king comes with compassion for souls and bodies. Do you realize that just only hours before his triumphal entry into the Jerusalem, he wept. He stood out there on the Mount of Olives and he cried. He cried for Jerusalem. Have you ever seen a president cry? Did you know that there was actually a president in history, a presidential candidate, who disqualified himself from the primaries because he cried in public? And he got disqualified for that.
Wow.
Jesus actually wept for Jerusalem. He was different. He stopped and he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who sent to you, how often I long to gather your children together as hens gathered her chicks under the wings, but you were not willing. So he's crying for the very place that he's about to die for. He's crying, wanting that they would have chosen truth over religion. Amen. So he's going along there, and what's he doing? Okay, you understand that it wasn't long before that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. This was making a lot of noise in the area. And all along the way, while he's going through this, he's healing people. He went into the temple and taught all day long. Y'all understand this is Mark 11:23? This is the area right there. He's going in and out of the town. He talked to that fig tree. He taught them how to use their faith. He's doing all of this right before he's going to go to the cross.
Wow.
He's healing people. And guess what? He's healing the same people that in a few hours are going to holler, crucify him.
Wow.
That's tough, isn't it? The simple people, the people with broken bodies, the shattered dreams, the people with bruised spirits, the people who hurt in their soul, where you really feel that hurt. He took for himself. He went and did that himself. He took care of it himself. And he's not out there flaunting his rank in public. He's just doing all of this as a servant, knowing that he is the King of Kings, knowing that he is the God that took off his divine power and stepped down into the earth, as it was said, came as a baby so we would know who we were. He walks through this earth, all these signs, wonders, and miracles, being a humble man, going to the cross, healing people on the way, and then there they are, fickle, joining the group. Oh, church. They should have watched out for fake news.
Wow.
Change positions because, is this true? I'll leave that alone. That was a perfect place for that. Glory to God. Okay, so he wants to transform you through his regenerating power. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to be regenerated. Yeah. That's what he's all about. He wants to touch your life.
That's right.
God wants to do that. He is your king right now.
Amen.
He's looking at you right now. He wants to help you.
Amen.
He wants to help you spirit, soul, and body right now. You're like, well, you know, I've been in church for a long time. I understand that. No, listen to me. Right now, he's looking into your Jerusalem, whatever level you're on. If you're not born again yet, today's your day to get born again. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, today's your day to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you need prosperity, if you need to be blessed, if you need healing in your body, if you need character change, if you need relationships to be better, if you just need to come out of depression or oppression or be delivered from a demonic force that is troubling you, whatever it is, right now, Jesus is looking into the Jerusalem of your life. And he's saying, I have paid. Isaiah described it in these words. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and familiar with suffering, like one from whom God hides their men hide their faces. He was despised and esteemed. We esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Think about that. He took care of it all. Church, Isaiah 53, 54, we're talking, Isaiah's prophesying about Jesus. The Bible says he was marred beyond recognition. You couldn't hardly tell he was a man because he took the sin of the world upon him and was punished so horribly. Praise God. Thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. You know why he didn't open his mouth, don't you? Because if he would have, boom.
Yeah. Wow.
He had to be quiet.
Yeah.
They didn't kill him. He gave his life. When they came in there and they asked him if he was Jesus, when he said, I am, they all got knocked down.
Yeah.
Somebody was raised from the dead and went running through the garden. People don't look at all that, but the power of God was released. But the whole time they're judging him, he's having to be quiet because all he would have had to do, he could summon angels. He could have wiped that whole place out. But he held his peace. He kept silent for you. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Now I want to say something to you as we're finishing up here. There's one more thing about your king that you should know. He comes with a sounding note of judgment. Now, before you get all shook up and thinking, whoa, Pastor, what are you talking about? I want you to hear me. He's the king who has compassion. But his compassion is not an endeavor to buy your favor. He's not giving away everything, denying his own righteousness. He's certainly giving to you. He did give his life for you. But he's not denying who he is. And he never will. He is who he is. He tells you what you need instead of just what you want to hear. He tells you what the wages of sin is. It's death. He tells you that someday you'll stand before God, your maker. Everyone will stand before God, their maker, and be accountable for what they've done in their life. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, your judgment has already been paid for. But we will go before God, and he'll talk about what we've done with our lives. Whether you fulfilled your plan with him. And he's not apologizing for that.
No.
He'll look at you and he'll either say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or he'll say, well, you certainly will have mercy. But you will be taken note of, and then all of that will be done away of, and you'll be free, and you'll go, and you'll grow in the heavenly kingdom and fulfill your assignment then. But I don't want to wait till then. I don't want to hear just well. After what he's done for me. Three people, four people agree with me. He warns the world of judgment. It's written in here, church. He warns them. He warns of eternal hell, total alienation and separation from him. Something that you all are never going to face.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you are saved by grace through faith. If you accept Jesus, everything is wiped out.
Thank you.
But there are people in this world that have not. And this word is warning them that there is coming a time when this age is going to fold up. And it's not God being a harsh God. It's the wages of the death life cycle that people chose. Understand, the wrath of God is something you never felt and you never will. You don't want to feel that. It's an extermination of darkness. It's not that God wants, man, that I've been waiting to get that guy for centuries. That's not how God is. God loves everyone. Jesus wept for Jerusalem. He feels the same way about the lost people on this earth today. But the truth is if they're going to go down with the ship, they're going to go down with the ship. It's their choice. They don't have to. But God warns that. He warns us of that. He's a good king. So the king who enters Jerusalem on a donkey, he walks by foot over there to the Mount of Olives. And for that, from that perspective, he's overlooking the city from which he wept, and he refuses to give a campaign speech that, like an earthly leader would do. Instead, he tells it like it is. He predicts domestic breakdown. Read the Bible. He economic catastrophe, wars, rumors of wars, earthquake, famine, and all the horrible desolation which mankind will bring upon themselves. And he's saying, he's wanting his people not to go that way. But he's got to tell you, you know, some people don't want to hear this stuff right here. Let's talk about something happy. But what about the people that are lost right now? They need to hear this. They're going to a devil's hell if they don't receive Jesus. Not because God wants them to or we want them to, but you have to make your own choice in life. You choose. You choose. Everything's going to be a choice. Yeah, okay, Lord. This is a good time for that? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I was watching Keith Moore, and I'm going to go ahead and say this right now because I think it would help us as we're coming to our end here. Church, listen to me. Listen, those of you who listen online, listen to me. Everything is a choice. Life is choice-driven. Submission equals protection and prosperity and health. Submission does. Submission to God. No one can do that for you. We can't make you worship in here. You can look like you're on jury duty. You've got a camera on you. We'll show you your footage later. And you can see how beautiful you were on it right there. We can't make you do that. I told the earlier group, I said, you can lead a horse to water. Can't make them drink. So we can lead you in worship, but you'll have to choose to worship. You'll have to stop worrying. You'll have to stop complaining. You'll have to start praising. You'll have to start worshiping. You have to do it. And if you don't want to do it, it's your choice.
Yeah.
It's okay. It doesn't make us love you any less. It doesn't make Jesus love you any less. But that's kind of like saying, I put all this money in the bank for you, but you won't write a check and get it out.
Wow.
Because worshiping God, submitting to God, loving God, submitting to the word, submitting to what the ones he put in your life for that, that is how God designed it. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. Almost every person within the sound of my voice has been here, or you probably know this. You know that you have authority to rebuke the devil. Do you know that?
Yes.
Did you know that it won't work if you're not submitting to God?
Yeah.
The Bible says submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So you have now, I am submitted. Well, I think what the Spirit's trying to tell us today is submit some more. Submit some more to God. Follow him, in other words. Follow his leading. You submit to Siri when he's trying to, or she, whoever you use. I use the boy on there, but he's trying to tell you where to go.
Yeah.
Submit to God. Submit to the word. See that all of the stuff that people in the world go through, you could miss a whole lot of that if you take the right road. You don't have to, yeah, but you don't know. I work with a bunch of people and they're just a bunch of noise and that. Well, that doesn't mean you have to be.
That's right.
I lived in a time where I worked with 100 people and they were some wild hooligans, I tell you. But boy, they knew where to run when they needed something. But I'm just telling you that submission is not an ugly word.
True.
Submit to God.
Amen.
The centurion, Jesus said, I'll come to your house and heal your servant. He said, no, you don't need to come up under my rule. I'm coming up under your rule. Let that sink in. You come up under Jesus' rule. Church, I got to tell you something. God is waiting to bless you with the most amazing things. He will do the most amazing things for you. The most amazing things. We heard stories with Chris Tomlin that just, we were like, oh my word. He told his stories about how he was 16 years old and this man named James said, they met to do a youth meeting together, and Chris Tomlin knew 3 songs. And so they said, well, we want you to do this youth meeting. So this guy named James called him and James says, Chris, I'm going to be talking. I'm going to be preaching at that meeting. So I would like to know what you're going to sing. And he says, well, I got 3 songs for a whole week. I got 3 songs. And so the guy sent him, this James guy sent him worship songs. And so he learned to play them and he put them on cue cards and he laid them out on the floor on the stage so that he could hit the chords and play the songs. And he started with the first song and then he moved to the next song and this is the kid. He's 16 years old. He's in high school, Chris Tomlin. And he does these songs and he's thinking, man, I can't believe they asked me to do this. I mean, cause I'm really bad. I mean, he thinks he's really bad at it. Okay. And so he does all this and James comes up to him and puts his hand on his head and says, Chris, something like you did a great job. I can't remember the exact words, but then he says, but one day, what were his exact words? You're going to
sing your songs all around.
They'll sing your songs around the world. Now that's what James said to him. Okay. Now, fast forward years later, Chris is invited to sing at the White House. Mm-hmm. And who's sitting over there about to speak? Senator James.
Yeah.
I can't think of his last name. Do y'all remember? Yeah. So, but look what life did. And then he meets this pastor from Syria. And the guy doesn't, he's talking, they're trying to talk through translation and stuff. He says, the pastor's all excited. He's lost his whole family though, because they're all Muslims. So they kick him out because he's become a Christian. I'm trying to make this short here. But, so they were asking him, they said, do you know any worship songs? And he finally gets down to tell them, well, I know one. And he's standing there with Chris and this other guy who's introducing him. I know one song. And I'll play it for you. And he plays a Chris Tomlin song.
Yeah. Says,
years later, it got him through all the persecution. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. See, we all know that song. Think what God can do for you. Think about it. Think of the favor. Think of what God wants to do for you. He has so many great things. You're not too old. You're not too young. He wants to pour out blessing on you. He wants your hand open to Him so He can fill your hands. He wants that favor on your life. He wants the anointing on you to just push through and that magnificent things. Can I tell you, you're going to have stories like that?
Yeah.
You're going to have stories. We have stories in this room like that. We have stories of being in other towns and people walking up and saying, I have a good life now because, you came to the prison. Mm-hmm. There's probably three or four stories between all of us at least like that. I have this because that. I have this happened to me. You don't know, but you won't know till you get to heaven all the things that you actually did for somebody. You know, there's two people in this very church right here who gave kidneys to other people. Those people are living, or were living, some of them, they're already grown older and passed, but they got to live out their lives because someone would do something like that. Then there's others who lay hands on people and the kidneys started working. The story, this place is filled with stories. Mm-hmm. It's time for your story. It's time for your story. God's looking into your Jerusalem. He's looking into your Jerusalem right now. He's looking into you and he's saying, I don't want to weep for you. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's do this thing. Let me conclude this by giving you a brief story of two men. Jack has gone to church his whole life. He thinks of himself as being a very religious man. He's in his mid-60s and he's lived a full life. He hasn't let religion spoil his fun. In fact, although Jack is religious, he has no king. He has no Lord. Well, that's not quite true. He does. There's only one problem. Jack's king's name is Jack. He goes through the forms of religious practice. He wouldn't miss church on Palm Sunday. And right now, he's sitting through the last 5 minutes of a preacher's sermon somewhere. Today, he is. Jack's problem is that Jack hasn't committed himself. He's committed to his own self instead of to Jesus Christ. Jack is his own Lord. He gets turned off by emotional preaching that talks about hell. He wants soothing talk about heaven. He hates preaching that quotes the Bible. He wants comforting talk about psychology. He doesn't want anybody mentioning sin from the pulpit. According to him, that went out with the Middle Ages, you know. Jack's very turned off when he sees Jesus, the Messiah, the humble king, coming his way. But then there's Mike. Mike was a cynic. Mike had every reason not to believe. His life was loaded with doubts. How in the world could God become a man? How could an intelligent person trust the Bible? And there's a real difference between Jack and Mike. Whereas Jack ran the other direction every time Jesus began to come his way, Mike stopped. Mike took a good look, a long look, into the eyes of the prophesied king. He let those eyes probe his religious pretension. He let the penetrating glance cut through the smoke screen of his doubt. He was willing to doubt his doubts. He was willing to go back to the drawing board and read some of the great writers of the Christian faith, to read the Word of God. Mike was willing to look at the Word and examine the claims of the Christ, even intellectually, and to experiment with the claims that it would be good for his own life. And he took Jesus at his word, only to discover that Jesus was the one true Lord and Savior. Is your name Jack or Mike? Are you Jack or are you Mike? Now you might say, Pastor, We're sitting here in a wild, charismatic, Holy Ghost, Word, and Faith church. But there are actually people listening or maybe sitting here that may be doing it religiously. I'll show up on Sunday, but if I want to. And I'll love Jesus, but just don't get too close, Jesus. He is my Savior, and I'm going to go to heaven. But I'm going to keep my living like hell on earth. Now, when I say that, most people in the room thought, oh, you mean everybody's going to be carousing and drinking and partying and being wild and committing adultery and all? No, I mean living your own life on earth. It could be all that. It could be worry. Worry,
yeah.
Or worry, as it was said earlier. It could be that you make plans and then ask God to bless them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quiet in the church. But today's a good day to look at ourselves. So that we can all, can I talk Texas with you right now? I just want every one of us to be able to say, we ain't playing. We're not playing. Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. Holy Spirit is the one that leads us. Holy Spirit is the boss of me. They ain't doing nothing. They're not the boss of me. Nobody here wants to be your boss, believe me. I don't want to take that on. I'll be your boss. And yours, and yours, and yours. But you need to think about this. I'm thinking about it for me. I just let Jesus just look me right in the eye and get me to just step out a little further. Just trust a little more. Just make him King. Forget all the disappointment in the past. Sell out.
Yeah.
Sell out so he can give you everything he wants to give you. Just sell out. Well, I hadn't noticed that I looked like jury duty. I hadn't really recognized that I wasn't worshiping. Well, let Jesus look you in the eye and find out. Well, I hadn't noticed if I've just been selfish. Let Jesus look you in the eyes. Well, I hadn't noticed if I put me first. Well, just let Jesus look you in the eyes. Because you're going to really enjoy letting him be first. He's awesome. They used to say this in the old days. Some of you remember this. Bill, you probably remember it, Ron. Let go and let God.
Yep.
Just let go and let God. Let him do it. He wants to do it. Just let go and let God. Yeah, but people won't think I'm cool.
Oh.
Cool is overrated. Just button up your top button and go on. Put some pencils in your pocket. It'll be okay. No, I'm kidding. You're cool. Look straight ahead. I know what you are thinking right now. Are you Jack? Are you Mike? I want to be Mike.
Yeah.
I want to be like Mike. I want to be Mike. I want to go, well, I've doubted here. I've worried here. I've done this here. I tried to do my own thing here. Jesus, take the wheel. I want to be like Carrie.
Yeah.
Jesus, take the wheel. Praise the Lord. You get what I'm saying to you, don't you? Church, don't take the judgment stuff harshly. That's for darkness. But also, he is asking you, do you want it or not? Do you want what I have or not? Because it does cost you something. It costs you to say no to your flesh sometimes. That's what it costs. Might cost you your cool for a couple of minutes or your jury duty face for a little while. Everybody's smiling right now. It's funny. Your king is coming. He's riding towards you right now. He's ready to look you straight in the eyes. Are you ready for his glance? I am. Look at me, Jesus. I'm ready for it right now. That glance demands a verdict. He wants to know whether or not he's truly your king, your sovereign. Will you shift your glance away? Or will there be that nod of affirmation? Yes, Jesus. Which comes from one who is loyal in allegiance to the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, your King and your Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's stand. He's our King.
Yes, he is.
He's a good King.
Yes, he is.
He's not going to come out in the gossip magazine as bit. Well, they might send something out on him, but we'll know it isn't true. He's going to prove faithful every time, every time, every time. But he's going to get you to look at yourself sometime. He's going to get you. That's what all that was about that I told you. He's looking. He wants to say something to you. The Bible says that God corrects those that he loves. And so sometimes he's going to say, come on now. Come on. Come on, you can do this. You want a harvest, then sow some seed. You want somebody to be sweet to you, then you be sweet. You want some friends, then be a friend.
Right.
You want my protection, then submit to me. You want my provision, then submit to me. You want the devil to leave you alone, then do what my word says to do.
Yeah.
It says to resist, if you're going to resist Satan, submit to God first.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Talking about Peter. You can read the book of Peter there and you'll get it.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you know, I'm my own man and I made my own way. See, that's the problem. God can get us so much further. He can get us so much further. Father, we pray for the internet audience today. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of our friends and family. We thank you, Lord, that today as Jesus glances at them for coming as a king today, he's coming in as a king and he wants your allegiance. He wants to be your king, not just your savior, but your Lord. And if there's anyone out there and you've never received Christ as your personal savior and Lord, not just as your savior, but your Lord, all you have to do today is pray this prayer. Jesus, I believe in my heart. Y'all were going to say it with me, huh?
Yes.
Jesus, I believe in my heart.
Jesus, I believe in my heart.
That you are the Christ.
That you are the Christ.
You are the Son of the living God.
You are the Son of the living God.
I believe that you died for me.
I believe that you died for
me. I believe that God raised you from the dead.
I believe that God raised you from the dead.
That you are alive today.
That you are alive.
And I take you as my Lord.
And I take you, Lord.
And my King.
And my King.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Bible says if you confess that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
That's
it's
right.
That easy.
Yes.
And then from there you grow. Well, it's not hard.
No.
You're making it hard.
Yeah.
You know, I brought you here to have a good time. Now, just like your mama said.
Yeah.
God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.